Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
My head's about to explode here. It's about to explode.
Mine too. For different reasons, probably, but...
Well, it's probably the same reason.
It's just, I just feel like we can't take a breath.
I'm listening to your newscast, and the guy who's now the head of SDOT, and he says he doesn't think it was a con job. They told the public they were going to build... this is unbelievable. They told the public they were going to build bike lanes for about $850,000 a mile, which is insane. And they came in at $12 million a mile. How is that not a con job? They said something to get people to vote for a tax, and now that they've got the $1 billion, they say, oh, we can't do what we promised. We're sorry.
I think part of the problem
is... it's a con job.
He is the interim chief. Now,
I know,
so
and it's not this dude's fault. And everything he said... I've actually kind of liked the last several weeks, but Scott Kubley, his predecessor, should be in prison. And I mean this. And if we had an attorney general who cared about the law instead of caring about just being a defender of Democrats and an attack dog against Republicans, Bob Ferguson would look into how Scott Kubley and the accused child rapist mayor, how they swindled the public out of $1 billion by promising something that ended up being 13 times more expensive than what they promised. And I'm serious. Where is Bob Ferguson, who sues the Trump administration every other hour, but he can't defend taxpayers who get swindled by criminals out of $1 billion? I'm serious. My head's about to explode as I listen to all of this. You got the... let's get right to our top story, too.
The Big Lead. Top story.
But I'm serious. Hey, Bob Ferguson, do your job. Forget about your climb to the governor's mansion for just a second. Why don't you start defending the state constitution, upholding the laws of this state, and going after criminals? It's not too late. The statute of limitations has not run out on Scott Kubley, who stole millions of dollars from the taxpayers of Seattle for those bike shares, who then cushily gets a big, fat bike share executive job after he's bounced out for his incompetence and ethics violations and inability to run a Department of Transportation. But he helped swindle the public out of $1 billion with that Move Seattle tax. And Bob Ferguson, our state attorney general, should be absolutely ashamed of himself. I don't know how he looks himself in the mirror. Yeah, you make sure the florist in Tri-Cities is run into bankruptcy because she's of the opposite party of you. But when people in your party conspire to steal billions of dollars from taxpayers, where are you, Bob Ferguson? The statute of limitations has not run out. And Scott Kubley and the accused child rapist, your good buddy Ed Murray, they should be in prison. And Ed Murray, the statute of limitations is up on the alleged child rape, but not on swindling of taxpayers and lying to people, the con job that's going on. Where are you on Mike O'Brien and Shama Sawant and all the rest who are swindling people right now and lying left and right about road diets and taxes and homelessness? I mean, I'm looking at the Seattle Times story about the Amazon pause today. And that is the big dominant story today. Amazon has announced that in the wake of this proposed head tax on business for the nation's drug addicts, so we can attract all of the nation's drug addicts to Seattle so that government can expand its footprint, Amazon has announced that it's pausing the construction on a new tower downtown, and that they are going to suspend the planned hiring of 8,000 new jobs in Seattle. And let's get real here, because Amazon can't just pack up and go, okay? Because that would be disastrous to their own company. Amazon is sitting on billions of dollars of real estate in downtown Seattle. If Amazon pulls out of Seattle, there would be a commercial real estate collapse like you have never seen in the United States of America. Amazon cannot collapse its biggest asset, a real estate asset. And so they're not going to just pull out of Seattle. And I'm not suggesting that they are about to. However, I think will they steadily withdraw from Seattle? Of course they will. They just announced they're putting, 5,000 new jobs up in Vancouver, B.C., 2,000 in Boston, HQ2, they say is going to be equal to the Seattle headquarters, which is very inefficient. And a company that has built itself on efficiency is not going to run an inefficient operation. Amazon's not going to just yank out of Seattle. What they're going to do is they're going to slowly withdraw. And as they do, if we still have people like Shama Sawant and you know, the liar on the bike lanes, Rob Johnson, the liar on homelessness, Mike O'Brien, you got Lisa Herbold. She's the grandma with the nose ring. Very hip. Lisa Herbold, she's quoted in the Seattle Times story that's out this afternoon. On Wednesday, Councilmember Lisa Herbold, another sponsor of the tax legislation, described the company's new pause as an unfortunate reaction. And this shows you how clueless these city council members are. This is what happens when you put a bunch of community zealot, you know, no real life experience to run a city. You know, as one of my listeners, Betty, wrote to me, and she saw that Lisa Herbold quote, and she said, what did she think Amazon would do? Tie up the $20-plus million from this tax in a ribbon and skip it over to her office with birds singing and fireworks going off? As Betty says, obviously Lisa Herbold is delusional. No, she's just yet another person who has no idea how real-life economics work. City council members, they see money as an endless supply. We just will raise a tax, we'll add a tax, new tax, income tax, head tax. Money is limitless. And then we'll take all that money, we'll create six-figure jobs for our cronies, and then all of those cronies will make sure that we get reelected and we'll be able to keep our and by the way, I can't think of a more pathetic job than being a city council member because you got to sit and listen to Sawant in these meetings, which is, oh my goodness. I'd want a Black and Decker drill going into my head before I'd want to sit and listen to Sawant at a meeting. So why they subject themselves to that? Well, because they have that huge staff. They're little six-figure lackeys who just nod and reaffirm them and tell them how powerful they are and how visionary they are and how wonderful they are. And meanwhile, we're seeing the city and the region getting destroyed. Getting destroyed. And as Amazon begins to pull out of Seattle, and it will be slow, it'll be steady. It's not going to be immediate because they don't want a real estate collapse here. But they're not going to operate in a city that's got idiots running it. As we've talked about with this HQ2, Boston, Chicago, D.C., Nashville, Atlanta, come to us, Amazon. We love you. We'll give you tax breaks. We will be appreciative of the jobs. We'll be appreciative of the revenues you generate. We will do anything for you. That's what all those other cities are saying to Amazon right now. Meanwhile, what is Seattle? Say it to Amazon.
Hey, hey, Amazon has got to pay. Ho, ho. Hey, hey, Amazon has got to pay. Ho, ho. Hey, hey.
So understand, that's Sawant there, leading people outside of the Amazon headquarters. So Nashville says, come here. We will give you tax breaks. Seattle.
Hey, hey, Amazon has got to pay.
Washington, D.C., our nation's capital will welcome you with open arms. We would love the economic stimulus that you will provide. Seattle?
Ho, ho! Hey, hey! Amazon has got to pay!
Nashville, Our traffic is low. We don't have homeless people sitting all over our sidewalks. Your employees, if you come here, your employees will love the graciousness and the hospitality of our city. Seattle?
Ho, ho! Hey, hey! Amazon has got to pay!
What are you going to do if you're Amazon? You're going to sit and listen to a Black & Decker drill going into your brain every time you walk into the building? Or you can go to a place where they say, we love you, we want you, we need you, we'll do anything for you. What is Lisa Herbold, the grandma with the nose ring, what is she thinking? It's an unfortunate response by Amazon. No, it's a real-life response, something that the Seattle City Council has zero experience with, real-life stuff. They know nothing about reality. They know about this artificial world that they've created with people, their lackeys telling them how brilliant they are. Oh, my goodness. And they're not brilliant.
Trump, as we know, has been trolling Amazon. But we have to be very clear. Trump is the con man in chief.
Says the ultimate con artist on the Seattle City Council.
Amazon is set to get a $1 billion deal of cloud computing from the Pentagon. The tax that we are demanding.
How do you boo Jobs? Your biggest employer in your city, they're about to get a big contract. Boo! I thought you wanted people working. Or are you lying when you say you want people working? Do you just want people in poverty and government will just take everything and divvy it up equally? Oh, except for your house. So what, with her $850,000 Leschi home with more than $500,000 of equity since she bought it? Talk about lying con artists there. So this is where we are today. And here was Sawant today at the city council meeting.
At that level, it's $20 million for Amazon. I think that is absolutely, Amazon is perfectly capable of paying that and double and even four times that amount.
That is just so stupid. They're perfectly capable of it, so they should just give it to us. Why? So you can blow that the way you do the $200 million a year on homelessness? Which is ultimately what this comes down to. We spend more money on homelessness per capita than any city in the United States of America, probably than any city in the world. And we have the worst crisis. Because the more we spend, the more we attract the sad addicts from around the country. And the problem just gets worse and worse. They're not helping anybody's lives except their own. I mean, that's the sad truth and the sad reality of Lisa Herbold and Bruce Harrell, Kashama Sawant, Rob Johnson, Deborah Juarez, Mike O'Brien. Hey, by the way, all of my listeners, man, if you can go to that Mike O'Brien open meeting tonight at Trinity United Methodist Church in Ballard on 23rd and 65th, I mean, it's going to be jam-packed. And Mike O'Brien, coward that he is, he's announced he's not going to take any public comment. You're going to have to submit it in writing. And his six-figure lackeys are going to sift through. But they're trying to stack the deck. Sawant and O'Brien, they're trying to make sure that all their supporters are there to balance things out. They don't want to hear reality. They want to create some false reality and act like people aren't on to their con. But, man, if you can go to that event tonight, we're going to have a reporter there. Trinity United Methodist Church. You know, if you're there by 5 o'clock, maybe you have a shot at getting in. But it's time. You got to let these people know. I keep talking about reclaiming this region. You got to let Mike O'Brien know that you're on to the con. That you've heard what a liar he is. That you've seen how the city already blows $200 million a year on homelessness, and his solution is give us another $75 million? There's the definition of insanity right there. Yeah, you got to get rid of O'Brien. Sally Bagshaw, who works to keep a child rapist in the accused child rapist in the mayor's office. They all got to go. You got to get some people with some real life experience in this job of city council. And on it goes. I'm going to have more on this after the news in our what is usually our awesome audio segment, because I got a lot more audio for you to hear. But I got some other news to cover here in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Meanwhile, we're seeing what is a tremendous regional problem, because with the drug addiction that is openly allowed by our police, by our city leaders in King County, Snohomish County, Pierce County, with that, you have drug dealers. When you have drug dealers, you have a lot of gang activity. Where you have a lot of gang activity, you have a lot of crime. And our show staffer, Nicole Jennings, she went down to the Highline School District last night. Because down in Burien, as you know, two teenage girls were murdered a few weeks ago. There have been four teenagers murdered in Burien in the last couple of years now. A guy was attacked with a machete when he was trying to stave off a random drunken attack on a homeless guy. We talked to that machete attack victim a few days ago. And they had this meeting last night at Taiyi High School. And a junior at Taiyi, Cheyenne, she talked about how, yeah, there are gangs and guns in our schools down there.
I think the one thing that makes me unsafe is there's like a lot of gang violence here, and they can bring guns sometimes.
And what this is the coattail effect of policies where drug use is openly endorsed. I mean, so much so, they're talking about opening a drug death den, heroin death den, here in King County, where people can go shoot up. And, of course, if you encourage as much addiction as possible to a region, you're going to bring as many drug dealers as possible. That brings gangs. That brings crime. And a mom down at Taiyi High School, Osiris, she and her daughter say, yeah, we're seeing people get shot in our neighborhood now.
My daughter is a student here at Taiyi High School, and we live in a neighborhood where we've witnessed violence both from police and students. There was a student murder in front of our home last year. There was nothing about it in the news. There was no reach out from anybody.
Now, where is all the national coverage of that? Where are the student walkouts when it's gang violence that leads to kids being killed? Where is that? And that's the problem. You know, this mom says we got to talk about the violence, but we also have to talk about this honestly if we're going to do so.
I feel like the biggest thing as a community that we could do to help violence is talk about it and keep it real. You know, we can't sugarcoat it, and we have to bring out what's really happening and have that communication from the school to the parents and the parents to the school and the teachers and what's really happening out there.
And Nicole Jennings is going to have a lot more on all of this on MyNorthwest.com. But, yeah, we need to talk openly and honestly about it. You know, Burien's a sanctuary city. They went through all kinds of political gymnastics to try to keep off the ballot a citizen initiative effort to overturn sanctuary status. Well, when you have sanctuary status, yes, you announce we're going to provide refuge to people who are here illegally, including gang members. Then, of course, you're attracting that kind of violence to your region. So if we're going to talk openly and honestly, I'll do it. I'm just afraid none of our public officials are doing so. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you with Ursula, and then I got a bunch of audio on this gigantic Amazon story that you got to hear. Coming up next, Dory Monson Show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora, in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too, so you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio.
You know, it'd be kind of fun, Ursula.
What's that?
When I went into the hospital for my appendix surgery.
Uh-huh.
my blood pressure. I mean, I was in so much pain, and my blood pressure was through the roof.
Yeah, well, you'd also taken you went on a plane.
Yeah,
feeling incredible pain.
I got right off the plane, go to the ER in Scottsdale. My blood pressure's through the roof. Mm. So I went and saw my local doc for the 1 week, out of surgery check, and my blood pressure was pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. But he told me, he said, you know what? He goes, you can get for $40, you can get one of these blood pressure cuffs. And he said, it's really as accurate as what we do in the office. Mm-hmm. And so I just got one. And I'm thinking, it'd be kind of fun when I'd go off on one of my rants to check my BP. I have no idea if my blood pressure goes up or not.
Would be really interesting.
I'm going to bring that in tomorrow.
Because I am guessing that it's like off the charts.
I'm going to bring it in tomorrow, and I'm hoping that Sawant or Mike O'Brien do something insane, and I want to check. We'll check live on the air what my BP is.
We'll definitely have O'Brien cuts tomorrow because he's supposed to be speaking tonight to the town hall.
Yeah, and again, all of our listeners got to go. Trinity United Methodist Church, 65th and 23rd in Ballard. It's going to be raucous.
So just checking out what people are posting on Reddit, though, there are quite a few people upset about this idea that maybe they can't. I mean, hopefully they'll get a chance to speak and speak their minds.
Well, here's the thing. It was supposed to be, it was billed as a town hall. And then O'Brien, who I consider quite the cowardly dude, because he'll never come on with us. Then he says, oh, no, you can submit questions in writing and my staff will go through them. So even if the questions are 95% one way, 5% the other, they're going to make it even and make sure that their little, lackey supporters are evenly represented, even if they're not in even representation. And so, yeah, I'm looking at this Reddit thread and people are really upset.
We will have Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott there. So she will be able to gauge the temperature at Town Hall, too.
Thing is,
or the blood pressure.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard. I mentioned this last hour. But we had an interview scheduled for today with the Cascade Bicycle Club, who I've been very critical of their role on trying to run maritime businesses out of business. And we have emails where that's their strategy, or a strategy they discussed at least. And then we have emails that prove that Councilman Rob Johnson was lying about the 35th Northeast where they want to do the road diet. And here's what's billed as a bike club, but it's got this outsized influence on local politics. And so, as always, I invite them to come on.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, Nicole? They confirmed an interview for today.
Yes, we've had an interview scheduled for 2 days, and then they canceled this morning and said they were unavailable. And I said, oh, can we reschedule for tomorrow or the next day? And they said, we are unavailable, and we'll send you a statement. And they have yet to do that.
Yeah, so they won't talk.
Someone got wind of the planned interview and said, no.
But here's the thing, and this is, I guess why I would never make it in politics. I would talk to everybody, especially I would relish talking to the people that disagreed with me. I would just welcome the opportunity to go on with Tom Tangney and Ron Upshaw. I'd go on their shows and I would go toe to toe with them on every single issue that they disagree with me on. And I don't know why these guys, educated at Lakeside and Duke, why they can't come on and talk to me. What is it that makes them unwilling to defend their positions that
perhaps, I mean, I'm just to answer that question, perhaps they're thinking there's nothing in it. They can't win. And they're not trying to reach your audience, that they're trying to reach a particular audience.
But we have the biggest audience.
Exactly. So I'm not agreeing.
And not only, back in the 70s, Cairo got this ridiculous, 13 share.
Uh-huh.
And now we're still the highest rated. But it's not as high as a 13 share. But we have so many more people around here.
Yes.
We have more listeners to this show than any talk show in Seattle radio history.
And our listeners don't just lean one way or the other. They try to, they're all over the spectrum.
Let's listen to a little Sawant and Bruce Harrell this afternoon. Give me a blood pressure cuff.
Yesterday, we had a discussion on the convention expansion, which absolutely, as far as the affordable housing and the union jobs that come out of it, we support it. But let's make clear also to understand that that's a $1.7 billion project.
Legally, the state legislature could have allocated all of those $1.7 billion just to construct affordable housing, and that would also have created union jobs and affordable housing from all of it rather than just a small portion of it.
Notice that she always talks about union jobs before affordable housing. This is none of this is about helping homeless people's lives. This is about a jobs program for the, you know, she stands with the union, but she decries the rich. But she has an $850,000 house, $500,000 equity in her house. She decries the rich, but she stands shoulder to shoulder with $180,000 a year union bosses. She is doing their bidding. This is not about human lives. It is certainly not about helping the homeless. Every time she talks about getting this $75 million, she says union jobs. Oh, and the homeless.
So in other words, the council has just voted to provide a vanity project for the hotel industry to the tune of $1.7 billion. I think we should hold the council's feet to the fire to pass $150 million for affordable housing.
And see, those are all her lackeys, because money grows on trees, right?
Council President Harrell, you had something you were going to say?
I was enjoying her words. So,
Lord, at least somebody enjoys it. Okay, let me take a quick time out, and then we've got awesome audio of the day. We got today's sign. We got so much more we're going to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Hey, we just got a text message, Nicole. And I think this is a great idea, and I think you should work on this.
Okay.
This is from the 206. Dory, why don't you see if you can get Jeff Bezos to come on your show to talk about this head tax? Will you give him a call, see if he'll pop on with us?
I can do that.
See if we can get the richest man in the world.
See how close we
can get. And if Jeff, if you're listening, I'd love to get you on. You know I'm on your side, buddy. Even if you did run my bookstore out of business in the early 90s.
Maybe I'll call his buddy Russell. Or maybe I'll have you call his buddy Russell.
Yeah, Russell, or who else? Who else could we work? Nick Hanauer. Call Nick Hanauer and see if he can get Bezos on for us.
Okay.
That'd be good. Okay, we'll see. We'll work on it. Thanks for the suggestion. Okay, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Look forward to bringing in this blood pressure cuff. I'm curious where I'm at when I go off.
I do watch my heart rate throughout the show on my watch.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It slows down a little bit after and before. During? Ugh.
You'll have to take your heart rate before you do the outrage and then after so you can compare and contrast,
right? We'll have a controlled situation right at the beginning of the show, right as it's introing. Although I'm always a little frantic right as the show's beginning.
Yeah, we'll start it at 10.
Yeah. Well, 10, I've just come from the gym, though, so it's going to be a little artificially elevated then, too. I don't know. We'll figure it out tomorrow. We got to get to the awesome audio. Okay, one of the manias, of course, is there's no differences in the world. Boys are girls. Girls are boys. Old is young. Young is old. You can just put whatever you want on your forms. Nothing matters. Biology doesn't matter. Science doesn't matter. So the Boy Scouts announced that they are changing their name because they have to allow girls now. The Boy Scouts of America, after 108 years, they're changing the names. It's just going to be Scouts BSA. So what does the BSA stand for, if not Boy Scouts of America? But anyway, they say they're doing that. This kid, this 8-year-old Calvin, and he's a little bummed that his sister is now able to join the Boy Scouts.
Number 3.
I already have to deal with my sister all day, every day. And this is like the only time I get away from her, really, so.
I love that kid. I love Calvin. He's so bummed that his sister can now join the Boy Scouts.
Just be nice to the girls and don't be mean or else you won't get picked on a lot.
Yeah, that's the new rule there. And Calvin and his sister, Mackenzie, talked about their recent project.
We did Pinewood Derby a couple of days ago. And I did a watermelon car, and he did a Ferrari.
She did a what?
A watermelon car, and he did a Ferrari.
See, why can't we have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? Why do we have to mix everything? We're doing it with sports teams now. Boy, biological boys can play on the girls' sports team. We got to keep things separate. What we've done is we've decided we have to masculinize every woman and feminize every man so we can all just be this mushy nothing in the middle. Where's my blood? Diastolics up to 110 now. Okay, let's see here. Oh, awesome audio number two of the day. This is a guy named Brian Kemp. He is running for governor in Georgia. And I have to give you the visual, first of all. He's sitting with a shotgun in his lap, and there's a little boy sitting next to him in this TV ad.
Number two.
I'm Brian Kemp. This is Jake. Young man interested in one of my daughters.
Yes, sir.
Jake asked why I was running for governor. I said, one,
cap government spending.
Two,
take a chainsaw to regulations.
Three,
make Georgia number one for small business.
And two things if you're going to date one of my daughters.
Respect.
And?
A healthy appreciation for the Second Amendment, sir.
We're going to get along just fine.
Brian Kemp for governor.
Why couldn't we have a gubernatorial candidate like that up here? And then at number one, if you missed it, a home in Ballard that I've talked about an awful lot. When I was a little boy, I would send pizzas and taxi cabs to the guy who we were always feuding with and fighting with, and he was drinking every day. And the guy still lived in the house until just a few months ago. And imagine my shock when I saw my boyhood neighbor's Dick. That's his name. Wait a second. My boyhood neighbor, Dick's house.
Wow.
Dick is his name.
Whoa.
Dick is his name.
Yes.
That's a drop.
No. It should be a dump if he had any healthy appreciation for the show. Jeez. Oh, where's my blood pressure cuff? Oh, Lord. Anyway, I would send pizzas and taxi cabs to Dick's house. I would watch fist fights that he'd have with family members. And I sat bolt upright in bed when the Cairo 7 report came on last night.
Number one.
Jeez.
Mold. You have to wear a mask just to go inside, and it'll still cost you $775,000. Cairo 7's David Solano is live in Ballard next to that home, which gives us a jaw-dropping new perspective on Seattle's housing market.
It's Dick's house, my boyhood neighbor, who still lived there until just a couple months ago. Now his family's trying to sell it. So when you think that I... Stop laughing, Nicole. I didn't mean to say whatever I said.
Oh, that was a great ending to a crazy day.
Oh, so yeah, when you hear me talk about my hardscrabble beginnings, I lived in a neighborhood that is now riddled with black mold.
Again, $775,000 with black mold inside, and still this place considered a hot property. Take a look at it over here. We went to go check out this three-bedroom and one-bath home, and then within minutes found somebody ready to pay that kind of cash.
You have to wear a mask to just go look at this house, and they're asking like $775,000 for a house that's filled with black mold. It's Dick's house!
She lives next door and can't believe it.
I mean, so much that I sent that link to all my friends, and I was like, yeah, it's a, you know, steep stairs, black mold.
So there you go. There's another glimpse into the childhood of your favorite Seattle talk show host. Okay, those are our favorite sound bites of the day, and that's going to do it for us today.
Thank goodness.
Jeez. That is getting to the finish line on fumes right there.
It's only Wednesday.
I've said everything that I have to say for today, but I'm going to think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow. All right, Ron and Don coming up next, and we will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Go home! 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 Go home!
Thank you very much.
very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.